Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles with me this morning, but like to join me in the book of Acts, the 24th chapter, we'll be reading verses 24 through 25 this morning. Once again, it is good to be back. Trust that everyone had a great Christmas season and had some great family time and maybe got in a few days of rest, and hopefully your spouse treated you to what you thought you deserved. I heard two amens. My wife, she gets a huge Christmas every year because she worked with me 15 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 weeks and does not leave me. And so at Christmas, I buy her a whole bunch of stuff to say thank you for staying with me. And the book of Acts, the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, who sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will send for thee." And I just want to preach for a brief time this morning, the inconvenience of revival. The inconvenience of revival. Lord, I thank you for the great teaching we have already heard this morning, for the great worship we have experienced, your presence that has moved into this place. I thank you for the opportunity that we have today to be into this place, in this sanctuary, to worship you, to hear from you, to interact with you in this place today. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive today your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look at your neighbor really quick and tell them he's preaching on the inconvenience of revival. Amen, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We live in a time where people love convenience. We live in a time where people despise inconvenience. One of the greatest things that ever came to the business world, it's called the drive-through window. I still remember when I was somewhere probably around the age of 20, a rumor began to go around West Monroe, Brother Baggett. There was a rumor going around that Pizza Hut was thinking about putting a drive-through window in. And I remember my response when I heard it. I laughed and I said, "That's the craziest thing I have ever heard in my life. But can I tell you today, if pizza does not have a drive-through, we very seldom ever go. Where are you going to get pizza at, babe? Where's the best pizza?" That's not what we ask anymore. Who's got the drive-through? Where can I go that I don't have to get out? Where can I go when it's raining and I don't have to get out? I just drive up to the window and go. I can't remember the last time I got out of the gas pump and walked inside to pay for my gas. Brother Steve, if the gas pump says out of order, can't take credit cards, I'm going to another gas station. I will drive 5 miles so I don't have to walk 5 feet. Because I like the convenience of stepping out and stepping right back in. We've become accustomed to that. That's what technology has helped do that. It's amazing to me. I wish I had my cell phone in here. I mean, just take that thing out in the matter of moments. You can know anything. Find anything, see anything. It's been 8 weeks since we've been here, and we got to 10, and we come this way, and I would begin to say, is it this exit or the next exit? And I mean, literally in 15 seconds, my wife, her cell phone weighs, and she had it up, and she was, the convenience of life. It's nothing worse than road construction. Can't remember if I told this story here yet or not, but probably a couple months back, I had a family from the Lake Charles area in our store, and the older gentleman that was with the family, man, he was talking. He was telling me all about Lake Charles. He's giving me all the scoop. I said, "Keep talking. I need some ammo. Let me know some stuff. I need some, you know." He said, I can tell you right now, you get to 5 o'clock, you better stay away from one of them bridges. I'm just telling you that right now. You, wherever you're at, you just anchor down. Don't go to them bridges, you know. The inconvenience of it all. We got home last night and I got out of work and got home. My wife had already been to Walmart, which is clear on the other side of town. It's a 6-minute drive. Clear on the other side of town. I remembered I'd hauled some firewood in the back of my little SUV out there for my father-in-law, and the back end of it still's got wood chips everywhere, and it's dirty, and it's a mess. And I said, babe, I got to put, you know, hang up my clothes back there. And I said, we're going to have dirt all over my jacket and our clothes and everything we put up in there, and we go in the mornings. I said, but you know what? The vacuum place for the car wash is all the way over by Walmart. It's a 6-minute drive. All the way over to Walmart. If there was one just right around the corner, I'd go, but I'm not driving all the way. It's a long ways over there. We get that way sometimes, even in our spiritual walk with God. You know, God, I'd really appreciate it if you could move in this time frame, in this manner, in this way. It'd be the most convenient thing for me. I learned a long time ago, when you tell God that, he's like going to almost guarantee going to do the opposite, you know. I used to tell God, and I say, you know, I would never go out in the middle of nowhere. I used to tell people, there's no way I'd go out in the middle of anywhere and pastor a church. Can I tell you, the first church and only church I ever pastored was out in the middle of nowhere? And I said, I will never make that mistake again. Now I'm telling God, God, I'll never go to a large city that's got more than 30 restaurants. I'll never do it. That's what I'm telling God now. You know, maybe reverse psychology on God a little bit, you know. But God doesn't always move when it's convenient for us. God doesn't always show up when it fits our calendar. I'm a planner, I'm an organizer, I'm a goal setter. You know, you can ask me where I'm gonna be at in 6 weeks on a Sunday, and I can tell you right now. I can tell you where I'm gonna be at in 6 weeks on a Saturday. I can tell you my next 4 and 5 months are laid out and planned out, and that's the way it is. And God, I hope that fits your schedule. I hope it lines up with what you wanna do in the supernatural. I hope it lines up with what you wanna do with eternity and the greater scheme. You know, sometimes we think our life is the greater scheme of the world, but God, I hope what I've got planned for my little old life lines up with the great scheme that you have called eternity. But if it does not, and oftentimes it does not, we must possess the flexibility that we can say, God, however you desire to move, I'm going to move with that. God, if you decide to mess up my calendar or my schedule or my life or my habits or my hobbies or what my opinion is on the matter, we've got to be flexible enough to know when God is moving and God is stirring and God is dipping his finger into the waters of my life and troubling the waters, and I got to make some alterations. I've learned the hard way you can set all the plans and goals you want in life as long as you make them in pencil. You can tell your family, this is what we were talking just 2 nights ago, where we're going on vacation in August. You know, it's, you know, 8-9 months away. We're talking about where we're going to go on vacation. We'll just pencil that in. That's a good phrase you ought to learn to say all the time. We're going to pencil this in. Somebody wants me to come preach in 7 weeks. I'll pencil you in, because where I'm at in 5 weeks, revival may break out. I may have to call and postpone. I may have to call and cancel. I may have to call and reschedule, because when God gets to, I'm just going to pencil this in right here. What time does church started? Well, you know, first service starts at 9:30, second service starts at 10:30. What time do you sweet folks usually get out? We all know that answer. Yeah. We'll just pencil in that time frame. How many songs are we singing today? We're planning on singing 3 or 4. We're going to pencil that in today, because what if God moves and we add a song? What if God's moving and pastor feels like he needs to take the pulpit a song early? We're just going to pencil that schedule in, because at the end of the day, we're trusting God to move, and we want God to have his way, and we want the will of God to be done, because oftentimes that's when lives are eternally shaped and fashioned, is when we just simply say, God, I'm here as your instrument, but whatever you want to do and however you want to move, I assure you, God, we will be spiritual enough and sensitive enough to feel after the moving of your spirit. And Felix hears a powerful message. It is so powerful that he says, and he trembled. I don't know the last time you heard a message where you trembled. That trembling tells me he's feeling conviction. That trembling he's feeling is that eternal weight weighing on his mind. He feels the Spirit of the Lord weighing heavy upon him and drawing him, and he's trembling. He's feeling something he ain't never felt before. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that when they walk into our churches, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, and they're like, man, I ain't never felt nothing like this before. I've been going to church all my life. I ain't never felt this before. And you start to tremble. You know, what is that? Well, you need somebody to pull you aside and tell them that's the Spirit of the Lord that you feel. That's the Spirit of God moving. That's conviction you're feeling. And what do I do with what I'm feeling? What do I do with this conviction? Well, I'll tell you what, we've already got everything pinned in. You know, when we come back next week, we'll pray. When we come back next month, no, it's just penciled in. When you feel that, you respond to that. When you feel the Spirit of the Lord begin to move on you, when you feel the Spirit of the Lord begin to draw you, you respond to that. Whether you choose to respond in repentance, or you choose to respond in prayer, or you choose to respond in worship, you respond to the Spirit of the Lord moving in your life. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't talk yourself out of your blessing. Don't talk yourself out of that break. Felix is sitting there saying, maybe another time. You know, I'm kind of busy right now. My schedule's lined up. I don't have time to squeeze in prayer. I don't have time to squeeze in a Bible study with you right now, Paul. It's just not a convenient time in my life. Can I let you in on a secret that I know most of you already know? There's never a convenient time. Never. Pastor, when my life slows down, I'm going to get that Bible study with you that you've been asking me about. When life slows down, I'm going to get in that prayer meeting. When life slows down, I'm going to make that Sunday morning service. When life slows down, I'm going to put my talent to use in ministry. When life slows down and it gets more convenient and it becomes easier in my life, then I'll take that next step of commitment in the church, that next step of commitment with God, that next step of commitment that God is drawing me to. Folks, it's never going to get convenient. It's never going to get easy. I remember reading Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, many years ago. And he shares a great example, illustration in that book. He pastors in California, and he says in the public schools there, they have an elective called surfing. Can you imagine? Surfing is an elective in school in California. All we had was wood shop, you know, where you cut your finger off and stuff, you know. You went to class trying to avoid losing a finger, you know. I mean, they're out there trying to avoid sharks, you know. And sign me up for the surf class. I mean, that's got to be the most packed out elective that there is in California. You know, let's go to the beach and surf. He says they can teach them how to get on the board in order to ride the wave completely to the end. They can take you to the shop and tell you how to pick out the best board and get it there and get it in the water and get on the board and how to navigate the board till that wave ends. But he says the thing they cannot teach you is how to create the wave. They can't teach you when the wave's coming. You just got to get out there and you get on your board and you just wait. Kind of reminds me of the apostles, the early disciples. The book of Acts, the Bible says 120 of them sat in the upper room. 10 days they're there. The Bible uses the word tarrying. They're tarrying. They're waiting. They're lingering. They're waiting for God. They don't know when the promise of the Father is going to come. They don't know if it's day 5 or day 7 or day 9 or day 12. They're just there prepared. They're just there praying. They're just there keeping their heart clean and pure. They're just there worshiping. They're just there meditating on the good things of God. They're just there reminiscing and sharing the stories of things that Jesus did. They're reminding one another of all the great miracles and things. They're just waiting and tearing for that outpouring, for that spiritual wave to come. And when it comes, we're going to position ourselves that we can ride this thing out.
We're going to maximize it to its fullest potential. We're not going to try to cut it off. We're not just going to jump off the board in the middle of the wave. We're not going to talk ourselves out of getting the furthest down the road that this spiritual wave wants to carry us. We're going to ride this thing all the way out. Luke 9:57, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's almost like he's discerning that man's heart, that man's spirit, that you need to be aware. You like home, you like safety, you like convenience. You like security, but where I'm going, there is none. I don't have nowhere to lay my head. I don't know where I'm going to be at tomorrow. I don't know where ministry's going to take me. I don't know where the calling of God's going to take me. You got to understand, you're not going to be 8 to 5, 9 to 5. This ain't going to be something easy. You need it. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, allow me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, after this conversation, the Lord appointed other 70 also and set them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. He sent them 2 by 2 in all these different cities. He didn't say go home and kick back and relax. No. I need laborers. I need disciples. I need people of action. I don't need just talkers. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you lead me. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go. And he said, you got to understand, I'm looking for people of action. I'm not looking for people of talking. I'm not looking for people that can just talk a good game. I need somebody that'll act. I need somebody that can carry out the instructions. And he sent them 2 by 2 into every city and place whither he himself would come. They were the forerunners of Christ into these cities. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The call of God wasn't convenient in their life. Lord, let me go say goodbye to those over there. Can I tell you from my short time and some 20 years of ministry how that works out? By the time you get home and say goodbye, before you get back, you've encountered another thing. Wait, Lord, I just remembered. I need to go. And then on the way there, it's 2 days later, and then you get back. Wait, Lord, I know what I told you. I remember what I told you about my talent and my gift. I remember what I told you about stepping to the harvest. I remember what I told you about impacting souls for eternity. I remember what I told you about giving you all of my heart and all of my life and selling out to you. I remember what I told you, but God, I encountered another person, another thing. Now I got to go over here in this field. I just realized my field over here. And I realized over here I didn't finish this job over here. And the next thing you know, days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months and months turn into years. And the next thing you know, you've never stepped 1 foot into the harvest. And all the time it's just all about convenience. Jonah was called to Nineveh, but apparently it wasn't convenient because he went to Tarshish. The rich young ruler thought he was ready to follow Jesus until he realized how much it was going to inconvenience his life. And I've learned this world, and too often our churches are full of people like Felix, the rich young ruler, Jonah, individuals with potential, individuals that God's reaching for. Individuals that he's trying to get them to repent of their sins, take his name in baptism, fill him with his spirit. Individuals with talents and giftings inside of their life that he's saying, if you'll just give me your life, if you'll give me your time, if you'll give me your family, if you'll give me your home, I could take you, I could use you, I could mold you, I could equip you. You could change your world if you would just give your life to me. But it's all about the inconvenience is why we don't. And because of it, many of us never fully experience the move of God in our lives. I come today to encourage every one of us, including Brother and Sister Clary, to experience revival to its fullest this year. To experience revival to its fullest for you and for your family and for your home and for your children and for your neighbors and for this church and for this city. I want everything that God wants to give us in 2018. I've come to encourage you today to seek first the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I asked somebody just a couple months ago, I was eating breakfast with a friend of mine who's a business owner in Alexandria, and he comes to Natchitoches once a month and we talk business. We have breakfast every morning. I asked him the question. I said, when does enough become enough for people? He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When does enough become enough on the earth for us? Well, I got one more business lead over here. I got one more sale I could make over there. I got one more opportunity over there. I can go across the state line over there. I can expand over there. I'm not against you expanding. I'm not against you providing for your family. I'm not against you making your riches. I'm not against you excelling at your career. But when does enough become enough where we can simply say, I have built my barns. I have provided for my family. Now, God, maybe now I can turn some affection above and say, God, what can you do with my life? But so many people spend their entire lives chasing the earth. It's always inconvenient to turn it above. Felix, there's not a better day than today. I have always said, why put off to tomorrow what can be done today? My wife will say, honey, when are you going to pick them clothes up? Tomorrow, babe, I'll get it tomorrow. You know, I came home yesterday and all those clothes were picked up and washed, dried. Felix, there's not a better day than today to respond to the word of God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent. Today's the day to be baptized in Jesus' name. Today's the day to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Today's the day to be sent into the harvest. Today's the day to make a difference in someone's life. Today's the day to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Today's the day to buy the truth and sell it, not do it today. See, people love preaching revival. I love preaching revival. And so many people mess up when they preach revival. It just seems like everybody I hear preach about revival, it's always some futuristic thing. One day, Brother Baggett, yeah, I guess so. If we live long enough, I guess one day it will happen, you know. Revival's not a futuristic thing. Salvation is not a futuristic thing. Boy, one day God's going to visit this place and boy, some people's lives are going to be changed. People are going to be saved. People are going to shed their sins out of their lives. They're going to get rid of that old fleshly carnal man. They're going to embrace the righteousness of God. They're going to walk in newness of life. They're going to live in victory and overcoming power. One day God's going to bring it to this church. Keep your hopes up. That's what they preach. Keep your hopes up. Keep praying. Keep believing. God's going to visit you one day. I'm just telling you, revival's not a futuristic thing. It's a today thing. You don't have to wait till next week to pray. You don't have to wait till next week to hit these altars. You don't have to wait till next week to get baptized. You don't have to wait till next week to encounter the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait till next week to get a miracle or a breakthrough or divine intervention and a supernatural touch from God Almighty. He is an ever-present help in time of need. He's a now God, and revival is a now thing. man, I saw the picture out in the lobby of all the steel and everything they're getting done. There's a picture of you in a hard hat out there. A little photo op moment right there, you know. Looking good. Man, that's exciting. Can I drop this in your spirit this morning? Been feeling this for about 4 weeks in prayer. Don't sit down and wait till you get in that building. Pastor, when we get in that building, I'm going to become a soul winner. If you're not a soul winner here, I doubt you're probably going to be one there. I love you. Pastor, when we get in that new building, boy, I'm going to be a praying machine. If you're not a praying machine now, I'm highly doubtful you're going to be a praying machine when you get over there. I've lived and I've learned that. I went from one old building to another one on staff in West Monroe with Brother Foster. And all those sweet folks who said, Pastor, when we get over there, you're going to see a new me. And we didn't see no new nothing. We saw a new building. I'm telling you, don't relax. Don't get in your lazy boy and say, boy, when we get over there, we're going to have revival. I'm just simply telling you, if you're not having revival here, it's highly doubtful you're going to have revival over there. If you're just waiting on a location change to change your spirit and your heart, I can tell your spirit and heart's not in a healthy place right now. I'm simply telling you, today's the day. Boy, when we get in that new building, we're going to baptize folks. Let's go ahead and baptize them right now. Let's not wait another 8 or 9 months. When we get in that new building, boy, those altars are going to be full of folks seeking after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's just go ahead and pray them through right here, right now. Now in this building, and we'll take them with us. Well, when we get in that new building, Pat, I'm going to invite folks like I ain't never invited folks in all my life. Can I tell you the same great teaching they're going to hear in that new building, they can hear it in this building right now. The same God they're going to meet in that new building, they can meet right here in this building right now. That God is not limited by address. God is not limited by a structure. That God is able to move today just like he will in 8 months. I just want to prime it up a little bit and say, God, in 2018, we want revival. I believe most people want revival. I genuinely do. I genuinely believe most people want to see lives changed. But I also believe that most people just don't want the inconvenience of it. And that's why they never experience it. You pray 2 or 3 families through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost over a span of 4 to 8 weeks. And somebody's got to teach a Bible study. Somebody's got to begin the journey of discipleship with them. Somebody's got to start changing spiritual diapers. And somebody's got to start teaching them how to feed themselves. And folks, whether we want to admit it or not, that can be inconvenient to our lives. Prayer, fasting, church attendance, Bible study, outreach, soul winning, it can all be inconveniencing to our lives. Musicians, you can come this morning. It amazes me how hunters can get up at 3 a.m. You know, hunting season's winding down. Pick on us hunters. I say us hunters. I ain't hunted in years. My wife's trying to kick me out the door all the time to go, but there's this fudge shop down there. Somebody's got to make candy, you know. When I was a teenager, my mother's second husband was an avid hunter. Probably the best hunter I've ever known. And most of my family hunts, and I have friends that hunt, and this guy can hunt anything. I mean, just his knowledge of hunting and the woods and animals, and it was just amazing. You walked in his living room, and the wall was just covered with trophy bucks. All of them killed just in that Marksville area out in the wilderness out there. Our 4th bedroom in that house, you walked in it, and man, there were guns everywhere and ammo everywhere and camo everywhere, and he had anything and everything. When we went hunting, we got up at 3 in the morning. Folks, if you want to take me hunting, I like the evening hunt. 3 in the morning, I don't even know what's going on at 3 in the morning. You know, I just get up at 3 in the morning. We drive an hour and a half to get to the woods. And then when we got to the woods, we drive another 30 minutes into the woods. And then when we got to the camp, we got in the four-wheeler and we drove another 25 to 30 minutes. Only to get to a spot where we would leave the four-wheeler, and then we'd walk another 15 minutes to get to the stand that was the best place he knew of to kill that deer. All that inconvenience at the chance he might see that trophy buck. But see, to him, it wasn't inconvenience. He didn't see inconvenience. All he saw was an image of that buck hanging on the wall. And I've come to tell us today, I'm preaching to me and my family. I've come to tell us today, we need to get to where we don't see the inconvenience of revival, we just see revival. We need to get to where we don't see the inconvenience of discipleship, we just see discipleship. We need to get to where we don't see the inconvenience of church, we just see church. We need to get to where we don't see the inconvenience of prayer and fasting, because we just see the spiritual benefits and blessings and breakthroughs that come from prayer. Fasting. You can stand with me this morning. Luke 10 and 2 again. Therefore said he unto them, Jesus speaking, the harvest truly is great. I come to tell you this morning nothing that you don't already know. I've come to remind you the harvest truly is great. But I've come to remind you as well, but the laborers, ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This is my prayer for this church this year. I am praying this year that the Lord will call more laborers into his harvest. I haven't come to give a guilt trip to anybody. If God's not calling you, that's fine. I ain't come to tell you to go somewhere. I ain't come to call anybody. I'm praying to the Lord of the harvest. Can you send more laborers? Let me tell you something. That prayer can be fulfilled from within and it can be fulfilled from without. God, it'd be all right to me. I want to take a wild guess here and just say there might be a plant somewhere in the 20-minute radius of this church that might can use an extra employee. And God, it'd be all right with me if you'd take a sweet, wonderful family on the other side of the country and transplant them down here to Sulphur and give them that job and lead them to our church. Let them be an intricate part of the revival that you're trying to bring to this church and to this city. I'm praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers into the harvest. And I'm praying that laborers will respond. I'm praying laborers will respond to the call to step into the harvest. I'm praying laborers to stop trying to find any inconvenience. There could be any excuse there could be, and just simply say, Lord, I hear you. I will follow you. That's my prayer this morning. Why don't you lift your hands toward the Lord right now? Why don't we love him right now? We're fixing to close this service out in prayer in the front this morning. Let's just love him for a moment. God, I thank you for the promise of revival that each one of us have. I thank you for the promise of revival that this church has. God, I thank you for the promise of revival that Life Point Pentecostal Church has. God, I thank you for the promise of revival for Sulphur, Louisiana. God, I thank you for the promise of revival for the surrounding areas of Sulphur, Louisiana. God, I thank you for the influence that every one of us has in this region to help spread and impact revival into the lives of other people, Lord Jesus. you're calling, I'm listening. Lord, if you're calling, I'm listening. What did he say to Isaiah? Who shall I send? Who shall I send? Isaiah said, Lord, send me. If you feel that way this morning, let's close the service out in prayer around the front. Why don't you step out from where you're at? Every church member, every guest that's here this morning, I invite you to come. Let's stand in this altar this morning. Let's close this service out the first Sunday of this year, and let this be our prayer. God, send forth laborers into the harvest. Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. God, if you need somebody, you can send me. God, you need to use somebody, you can use me. God, you need somebody to teach that Bible study, I'll teach it. God, you need somebody to start a prayer meeting.